The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And welcome to the rest of your life, or the Feinbaum Show, whichever you choose to call it. We are here on a Tuesday, and the fact that we survived Monday, remarkable. Appreciate you being with us. We have a lot to share with you, some really fantastic guests, your phone calls. Let's begin with some quarterback news. What about it, Bryce Young? Second quarterback at Bama in a row to win the Manning Award. Does anybody remember who it was last year? Yeah, of course we do. Meanwhile, JT Daniels is expected to enter the transfer portal. Hold on. I mean, wasn't he a Heisman favorite a couple of months ago? Tennessee looking back and forward at the same time, a Blake Topmeyer piece in the Knoxville News Sentinel a year ago this week. One man was shown the door. The man that replaced him turned out to be one of the best coaches in the SEC this year, Josh Heupel. And this has got a lot of people in Alabama, which is a very ruby red state, scratching their head. Nick Saban, going along with several other West Virginia natives, including Jerry West, have sent Joe Manchin, the moderate Democratic senator, a letter urging him to vote for the Voting Rights Act, which is supported by the president, is it not? And most of the Democrats in the Senate. So we don't talk politics on this program. We just read the news. But we are talking to Dan Wetzel today about the CFP. Connor Riley. You put O in front of him, he'd be, well, you know where he would be. He's from Dog Nation. Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel, and Gene Sapikoff from the Charleston Post and Courier. Living proof that there are still newspapers in this country. He works for one. And your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We begin with John in Louisville, and I swear I heard John being excoriated late here in the program. John, good afternoon.
No, I think it was my daughter, actually.
Your daughter, you're right. It was even worse. I mean, you can handle it, but we don't even know your daughter.
Yeah, she came Monday night. She comes home from working at P&G in Cincinnati, and she said, "Dad, I got shaded by Forrest Grump." I said, "Don't worry about it." And she did ask me, "Who's Ted Williams?" I said, "He played 60 years ago." "Well, he must have saw him." And then she said, "Who's Walter Mitty?" And I said, "Well, he's that meek and mild guy that fantasizes." And he said, "Well, I don't see the meek and mild to it." And then she had asked, "Who's George Zimmer in Men's Warehouse?" And I said, "That's when we ought to wear suits and ties." And she got the black hats because that's like country Western, you know, you wear the bad guys wear the bad thing. But I got a serious question on the transfer portal. But before I do, I'll spend 50 seconds and give the critique she gave me.
Sure.
Augie Daddy, he's the adult in the room. She loves him. Sir Squirrel, he's calming, cool, and collective. Loves Cat Happy Daddy. Lovable Larry and Sweet Jerome, she misses them. Nephew Mitch, loves him. Even loves the Honorable Hugh, the voice from heaven. And then even likes, what's his name, Legend. Reverend Legend, as she calls him, when he's happy, you know. And then as far as Forrest Grump goes, she said, "Dad, look at the optics. He's in line at McDonald's, thinks he's in Burger King, yelling at the phone. This little old man and the manager comes over and says, sir, you're scaring the other customers." And he says, "I just want my damn Happy Meal." And he says, "Do you know who you know who I am?" He says, "Who are you?" "I know Danny Sheridan." So,
and he says, "Let me ask you, John, if you're in line at McDonald's at 4:42 in the afternoon, you're either very young and just eat all day, or you're very old and getting your late dinner meal. I don't know which one it was."
It gets worse because he says, "Wait a minute, I know Paul Feinbaum and this greatest caller." And the manager says, "You're going to have to leave.
Page 54.
Paul Feinbaum and McDonald's parted 40 years ago, and you're now welcome, so no Happy Meal for you."
Your daughter did a really good job of breaking it down.
And then what comes on TV after all this? Forrest Gump last night.
Oh, dear. Was it on? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So here's the question on the transfer portal and a serious matter. You know, I've heard comments both from the Georgia and Alabama coach, from Mississippi coach about there needs to be some guidance and structure. And then I think Dabo Swinney mentioned that perhaps because, you know, he has a great graduation rate and retention over at Clemson. He says maybe they should all sit out still a year so that they can think about their decision and, you know, get ready for the new school they attend. And I think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, there's just there's 2000 student athletes out on the streets who will never finish their education.
That is 100% true. Hey, John, thank you very, very much for joining us. We appreciate it. James is calling next. Hey, James.
Paul, he took a turn on you there, didn't he?
I don't know.
I mean, well, he was asking about, concerned about student athletes actually getting a degree. Tell me something, Paul. How far away are you from Highlands, North Carolina? You got any idea?
Yeah, I would say about an hour and 40 minutes.
Okay, well, you surprised me. Have you ever been?
No, I haven't.
Well, that's where I come in. You need a tour guide?
I hear it's great. And I've been to Asheville a couple of times, but I've never been to Highlands. I mean, I know a lot of people that have homes in Highlands.
I see. It's a nice country.
Never been there.
It's nice country.
Is it? Okay.
A lot of waterfalls, good hikes, things of that nature. If you like the outdoors, it's a nice place.
Maybe I should go grab me a cabin there.
That's not a bad idea.
Right now, I'm struggling to pay for the house I have.
Oh, now here we go. You know, I found you a second home here in this nice little town I live in.
And where is that?
Oh, it's right here in Autauga County.
Autauga, okay.
Yeah, I mean it's not hard to find. This one's a brick home, though, Paul.
What's it go for?
Oh, no, this one is cheap. Okay, the last one was a 125. I think this one is less than 60.
60,000?
Yeah, that's when I talked to the man, and this is a guy that's a year older than I am. We went to Sunday school together. He married a young gal that I graduated high school with, and he told me, he said, there have not been any renovations since the home was built. Okay, so this cat's like 5960, so it's a 60-year-old brick home that hadn't had anything done to it, basically, in that length of time.
So Autauga, is that in central, near Montgomery, Autauga?
Oh, well, if you think in terms of Birmingham, okay, Jefferson County.
Oh, okay.
Then there's due south is Shelby.
Sure, no, I used to live in Shelby County.
Okay, well, you were two counties above me.
Okay.
I worked in Chilton County. I wasn't too far from you when I was.
Yeah. We used to live in North Shelby.
Okay. Well, I worked in North Chilton, but I lived in the southern part of Autauga County. If you go much further, you'd be in Lowndes County.
Yeah.
You're familiar
yeah.
with Lowndes County, right, Paul?
I am, yes.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate All the right. call. Thank you very, very much. How about Jim up next? Hey, Jim.
So you're going to go along with the old buzzards, the buzzards flying in the I can't believe you, Paul. What did Sheridan say about me and Legend yesterday? What did he tell you about us? You quoted it on air to me earlier yesterday.
Are we talking about John or Legend?
No, we're talking about what did Danny Sheridan tell you regarding me and Legend yesterday?
Well, Danny insinuated that you were the two best callers on the show.
Then why do you? Then you don't care about losing us, do you? That's what you're trying to do with me. Why do you go along with those lying buzzards from wherever that guy, Loserville, John from Loserville, and his stupid ass daughter? Why do you go along with that, Paul? You know it's a lie.
Jim, I want you. I think you should understand that this program is really for everyone. I can't spend the entire.
Yeah, wait a minute, though. You go along. You don't go along with me, but you agree with him. You help trash me with him. Why do you do that? Why do you help trash me with that old buzzard and his stupid-ass daughter?
Well, Jim, first of all, I resent you talking about a young lady you don't even know.
She doesn't know me either, Paul. And she trashes me through his big mouth.
You're
a freaking idiot.
All she called you was Forrest Grump. That's all. Mitch is up next.
He used the F-bomb again.
I did not hear that. I'm sorry.
He said all she is a blanking idiot.
Okay. We must have gotten it then, because I didn't hear it. Did you hear it, Randy? You did hear it. Okay. I'm so old I can't hear. You know, I'm talking to a youngster like Jim. I got to young up.
Anyway, Uncle Paul.
Yes.
I've got to change this whole narrative. I got to make you happy. Are you a connoisseur of spirit?
Occasionally.
Particularly bourbon?
I have had bourbon before, yes. I mean, bourbon's the great southern drink. We all know that.
It is. Have you heard of Sweetens Cove bourbon?
Sweetens Cove?
Cove, C-O-V.
Sweetens Cove. I have not. Is that a rare delicacy?
Have you heard of Sweetens Cove golf course in Tennessee?
Yeah, I have heard of that, yes.
Okay. Then are you familiar that Peyton Manning and Andy Roddick are investors?
Okay, I do know what you're talking about now. Okay, I read about this earlier. This is a new drink.
I had to special order through one of our spirit distributors here in Spartanburg, and it took 6 months to get it. Ordered three bottles, one that I'm never going to open, one that I would like to give to you.
Dust on the bottle.
And, huh?
Remember that old song? Yeah, go ahead. So one to me, one you're never going to open, and where is the third one going?
I would like to share with you, and because I don't know if you want to open yours or keep it as a souvenir.
I might keep it. About 2 or 3 years ago, the folks at Jack Daniel's sent us, we were talking about them one day, and they sent us whatever their top, that's whiskey, isn't it, Jack Daniel's?
Jack's bourbon.
And I've kept it. I'm afraid to drink it. But very nice. So has it come in, Mitch?
It came in, and I have a third bottle that I would like for us all to open, myself and you.
Well, I tell you what, Mitch. As soon as they will allow us to open the doors here again and let visitors in, why don't we all we'll share it here together on the set?
Yeah. I would love to. And maybe we can even bring Mark out of hiding.
If there's whiskey involved, Mark will be out of hiding in a gym from Tuscaloosa minute. Hey, thank you very much. We'll take a break. Dan Wetzel at the bottom of the hour. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back. Great to have all of you here. And let's check in with Shannon, who is up next. Hey, Shannon.
Boy, it didn't take long for the meltdowns to start today, did it, Paul?
Yeah, we've already lost Jim. He's quit the show again.
He's back on Twitter bashing you already, I'm sure. Yeah. I wouldn't know. He's blocked me. You might find that hard to believe, I know. He's blocked me on Twitter.
Hard to believe that somebody would block folks who disagree with him. That just seems un-American, doesn't it?
Well, you know, that's how it is. Paul, did I hear you say that Nick Saban signed a letter urging Joe Manchin to pass the vote for the voting rights bill?
That is correct. He, along with several other West Virginians, including Jerry West, sent a letter to Joe Manchin. I'm told that Saban added an addendum that claimed he was for the voting rights bill, but he was against the bill to circumvent the filibuster. So, I mean, I don't know whether Saban's trying to become the next Tommy Tuberville or whether he is just trying to over-explain something. But I will say a lot of my friends in Alabama are surprised by him sticking his toe into politics, even though it is well known he and Joe Manchin are very close friends, which makes me, I'll say one more thing, Shannon. Why didn't he just pick up the phone and call Manchin?
Yeah, and that's a fairly progressive legislative piece, correct?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's very controversial, and I'll leave it to everybody else's interpretation. But Biden came to Georgia last week, didn't he, to talk about
it?
And it seemingly backfired based on what I saw in the media.
Well, you know, I want to backtrack a little bit and talk about your final call of the evening yesterday where Legend called in and started bashing the state of Georgia for being a bunch of Democrats. If you remember that opening to his call yesterday,
oh, yeah.
Isn't it ironic that
he connected you to Nancy Pelosi, who I believe grew up in Baltimore.
I wonder if Nancy Pelosi is in favor of the voting rights bill.
I would assume she is, but I don't know that for a fact.
And now Nick Saban's supporting it. You think Legend understands the definition of irony, Paul?
Now, why are you putting me on the spot, Shannon?
I'll ask you a second question. Do you think Legend understands the definition of optimistic? He called in yesterday and he said, Shannon, you're an optimistic fan because you didn't have any belief in your team.
Right. That's exactly what he said.
Yeah, so optimism is, as you know, Paul, I'm an English major. I've graduated my English degree, and you're a journalism wordsmith. Showing
average.
Hope for the future.
I understand that word.
For the future. Sure. So how can one be optimistic and not have hope, not have belief?
Shannon, you are putting me in the
Paul, sometimes you got to choose sides.
Untenable position of having to defend Legend's interpretation.
Well, I understand that the public education system in the state of Alabama is not exactly, you know, at the apex of society. So I'm gonna give him a break on that. And then at the end of the call yesterday, Paul, he said, I need to go back and read the transcripts to find out who the real Legend is before he has to go back to his OG ways and pimp slap me. Isn't that what he said?
Yes.
Now, Paul, is he saying that we need to go back and really delve into who Legend is and what he's done in the past so we'll know what we're dealing with today? Is that really a box we want to open?
Shannon, I would like to talk to my bosses about your question, and we'll see if we can get back to you on that.
Well, Paul, I just think the irony in the whole thing is just so obvious, you know. It is. I've always enjoyed your show because Paul, I enjoy talking football. I enjoy talking it probably way more than I should, you know. And it's getting off into some other areas, and I'm going to stay away from what we started to talk about there, and let that sleeping dog lie. But rest assured, there's a lot of folks that listen to your show that know exactly the type of OG Legend is.
I'm glad I'm not very smart, Shannon. Otherwise, I'd be able to figure out your phone call.
Oh, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The thing that bothers me about the whole thing is he bragged about it. I better read the transcripts to learn who he is. He bragged about it as though that's a badge of honor. You know, his OG ways, as though that's something he should be proud of. I think the real rehabilitative efforts fell short in regards to that. But again, we'll just leave it alone and move forward.
Thank you very much, Shannon. And by the way, one more bit of information on this Nick Saban situation. So it was reported earlier today that Nick Saban had sent a letter to Joe Manchin, the West Virginia senator. What was interesting is a congressman from South Carolina, I believe he's from Rock Hill, South Carolina, Ralph Norman, subtweeted and said that maybe Nick Saban should focus more on winning national championships than subverting voting rights. Ralph Norman, by the way, I know Ralph Norman, the congressman from Rock Hill. He is a big South Carolina football fan, and he has now taken down that tweet attacking Nick Saban, thinking that he should be spending more time on football than worried about the Voting Rights Act in Congress. We will take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Dan Wetzel around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hey, welcome back. Always great to have Dan Wetzel on, the noted columnist for Yahoo and author. He once wrote a book called Death to the BCS, and I think he was wrong, because compared to where we are right now, the BCS was a great system. Dan Wetzel joining us. Dan, how are you, and what's going on?
I'm good, Paul. How are you doing, man?
Just recovering from the scintillating playoffs that are a week in our rearview mirror, and it looks like we're not going to be seeing too many other changes to it for a long time, thanks to a couple of our friends around college football.
I got to tell you, college football is the greatest because everybody agrees that they need to expand the playoff, but they won't expand the playoff. and there's more money. And there's lots of interest, and the fans want it. And, here we are. I think the two things that stick out is one is that, you know, remember when they kind of surprise announced that they were expanding last summer, and they buried it in this press release on a Friday and said, oh, by the way, we pretty much agreed that they were going to have this 12-team playoff with all the stuff. And everybody got all excited, and it seemed like, you know, these are people that will not admit, you know, anything, right? And they'll switch conferences in secrecy. They'll make, you know, they'll expand. They'll do anything. Coaches will say, I'm staying, and then they'll leave the next day. So for when they put out a press release, everyone figured, okay, it's done deal. This is great. It's going to happen. And that was not a good idea because clearly that just allowed whatever people to dig in on different things. And right now we have certainly the ACC, which I give credit, has come out and explained why they oppose it. At least they're admitting it, but they're opposing it. The Big Ten's opposition is really strange. They're hung up on this idea that of the 6 automatic bids, it should be 5, the 5 Power 5 schools and one other conference other than just the top 6. Which is, I guess, a guard on the idea that the Big Ten champion is like the 7th best conference champion, which would seem almost impossible at this stage, but really doesn't seem like much of a hill to die on. And that's where we're at. So we have these holdups that are going to keep us where we're at for 4 more years. And then everyone says, yeah, we'll probably go to 12 at that point.
Dan, you said something so interesting because these are people that will not admit what we already know to be true. And on that Friday, as you said, they went ahead and they admitted it. And then Bill Hancock told the world, well, we knew you would get the story out there anyway, so we just wanted to, you know, help. And I know what's happened since then. I mean, we both cover college football. But can you explain why it's happened the way it has, other than some of the lame excuses like the Texas and Oklahoma deal, which really don't connect to what everyone else has said and done?
I mean, the Texas-Oklahoma switch, you know, that seemed to get everyone mad at the SEC, which, you know, I just I'll say to any conference, which one of you guys was going to turn them down? I mean, like, if Texas and Oklahoma had said, called the ACC or the Big Ten, they would have taken them. So how can you fault the SEC for answering the phone on that? And if anybody should be mad, it's the Big 12, and they've seemed to make peace with it. So that shouldn't be an issue. You know, there's I don't know. I honestly don't know. We had changes in commissioners at the Pac-12, the Big Ten, and the ACC. They seem to feel like they're you know, weren't involved in the process. I think I saw a quote from on a Heather Dinich story that, you know, as Craig Thompson of the Mountain West said, we've now had more hours of meetings discussing our playoff proposal than it took us to write the playoff proposal. So you're totally involved in the process because it didn't take us, you know, 30 hours of meetings to come up with this thing. It's really not that hard to come up with a playoff. Everybody has one. So I don't know. It's the basic lack of leadership. It's the basic bit that no one's in charge. It's why you pay an Adam Silver or a Roger Goodell to just sit there and say, okay, this is what we're doing. The whole idea that any of the 11 conferences can veto expansion. I mean, technically the Sun Belt could stand in the way of this thing. They aren't, but they could, is a, you know, a ludicrous way to try to get anything done in any business. Can you imagine trying to have everyone agree to everything? So it's just a lack of, like, it's a lack of organization. It's a ton of egos. It's a willingness to just stand put and just wait. And it's a lot of confusion. And then you got three guys kind of training on the job, where I think the more experienced guys are like, hey, this is going to make us. I mean, if they skip two-year delay is $1 billion or something. I mean, they're going to, you know, they're like, we can make $1 billion. We can improve your product. I mean, you say to the ACC, right? This year's ACC season made almost no impact nationally. I mean, forget the Pac-12. Imagine if Pitt had gotten to host, let's say they hosted Michigan State in a playoff game, that really good Chick-fil-A Bowl that very few, you know, not many people watch. And Kenny Pickett gets to star in it, and they win this dramatic game, and they sell out their home stadium in Pittsburgh, and the whole city's excited, and they generate all this excitement, and they're more recruits are interested and more boosters, and they move on to play in the next round, and maybe they get killed then, but so what? There's this one great night for Pitt football in these couple weeks, or everyone's excited about Pitt football for the first time in decades. And you go, yeah, we don't want that. We want to stick with this, or we just play in these side bowls and let the SEC get all the attention. It makes zero sense competitively in the future. It doesn't help, you know, guys like Kenny Pickett say, I'm not playing in that thing, it's not worth it. It's completely detached from the reality, and it furthers the distance between the SEC and their ability to recruit the very, very best players and get the very best recruits and everybody else. Like, I think it's up to 39 of the top 101 rivals players are going to Alabama, Georgia, or Texas A&M. 40% of the top 100 players are going to three schools all in the SEC. They're coming from all over the country. You need to find a way to get that down to like 25. They'll still be the powerhouses, but it'll be a gap, and the ability to make it a little more competitive would be huge. And the quickest way to do that is to create excitement at other schools like Pitt or Michigan State or Oregon or Utah or whoever. And right now they're saying, no, we don't want to do that.
Dan Wetzel. Dan, before you go, this is certainly a big issue. We know that. There are many others, though, in college athletics. It's, you know, the early signing period, the transfer portal, NIL. And I know that's a lot to digest in a short period of time. But of those issues that are out there, which one would you be concerned about the most in affecting the present state and the current and the future of college athletics?
Well, I think they're all going to happen, so there's not much you can do. One thing I would do is try to spread the things out so there's not such chaos. If you look at the NFL, right now they're having their coaches get fired at the end of the season and they have their playoffs, okay? It's kind of hard to separate that. But they're not doing their free agency until March, and they're not doing their draft until April, May, whatever that is. College football does early signing period, the firings and hirings, their playoffs, which are too small, so then most of the guys leave quick, you know, move around anyway, and their transfer portal all at the exact same time. And that creates unnecessary chaos. And it's not fair to, particularly not fair to the players and their families who, you know, sometimes have to sign a scholarship with a coach that's been on the job for 2 days. And then their position coach that was recruiting them leaves the next day. They need to get rid of the early signing period and move that thing. I would move it to like late February and maybe have something where if you want to enroll early, go ahead. But other than that, let's move that out and do some different things to try to spread out that chaos. Because right now it is everything happening all at once, everyone's screaming, and it's just a poor way to design a sport, and you wouldn't do it. Now there's certain trouble. You got semesters starting, and it's not pro sports, but you've got to do something to get the chaos out of there so everyone can kind of take a deep breath and look around and say, okay, what are we doing here? And did I just sign at a school that all of a sudden went out right after I signed and picked up two guys on the transfer portal, and now I'm like eighth string, and I would never have signed here? Like, just that it all feeds into the chaos. So I don't think any of this stuff's going away. I just think they need to try their best to have some kind of organization. But again, no one's in charge. No one wants to agree to anything. Everyone just doesn't trust each other and thinks someone's trying to gain an advantage on the system, and they probably are, opposed to, hey, what's the best way to run this sport?
Dan Wetzel, always great to catch up. Dan, thank you. Good to talk to you. Talk soon.
Anytime, Paul.
You got it. One of the great all-timers, Dan Wetzel, joining us. We're taking a break. Have a lot to do this afternoon and more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome all of you back here. It's good to have you with us. And Kevin is in Atlanta. Hey, Kevin, you are on the air. Go right ahead.
HP Feinbaum. Hey, Paul. Long-time caller, first-time listener.
Thank you.
A couple things. Yesterday's show I wanted to hit on. First caller of the show, self-absorbed Alabama fan like me. Want to let him know he did us all proud in Alabama, Roll Tide country. Third sentence out of his mouth was about his sister. That's what Alabama's all about, loving your sister. Hey, Paul, you mentioned question yesterday. I got an answer for you.
Okay.
Who else is going to invite fired coaches to a celebration for Natty? The answer, of course, is Georgia, because they got class. Rival head coach's wife dies of breast cancer. They pink out the stadium. Cripple a young man from Southern. They pay his medical bills. It's called class. And finally, old legend, his name needs to be changed to Fable, because everything comes out of his mouth is make-believe. Go Dawgs!
A lot of love there for the Tide. Steve is in Georgia. Hey, Steve, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, good afternoon. Long-time fan of yours.
Thank you.
I was discussing some people about that on the Georgia website from Alabama, saying, well, it's been 41 years, this, we got 10 and 12 of them, you know. Well, we know all that. But this year was ours, and I say congratulations, Georgia, and we'll see you next year, you know. If everything works out right, you know, they ain't giving us no credit whatsoever, you know. I root for Alabama. I wanted them to beat Auburn because I want Georgia to beat the best when they got to the NC, you know. And that worked out just fine, you know. And I think they'll be seeing a lot more of us.
I bet they will. Hey, thank you very much. Terry is in Georgia. Hey, Terry, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We are well, thank you.
Well, you know, I've been waiting to call you. I'm feeling really good. No more woulda, coulda, shoulda. No more second and 26. No Natty since 1980. It's really been amazing. But you always gave a judicious look at Kirby and what they were doing. And actually, we had to defend Kirby, and which was crazy over this time. But in the end, I appreciate how honest and fair you were in his critique, and that if anybody needs critiquing, it's Alabama. I mean, did they forget how to run the ball? I mean,
seems
throwing
that way.
The ball 50 times? Well, anyway, I just want to touch base. You know, my first call was when Kirby got hired, and it's just come full circle. And now I didn't talk about politics and all that and your other callers. I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate you and the show, and you keep it up, okay?
Thank you very, very much. Slammer is up next.
Hi, Paul.
Hey there, Slammer.
I was wondering, even if you were to expand the playoff, or, you know, you're talking about getting all these other teams in it, at the end of the day, there's only one best team in college football, and I mean, two play for the national championship. Wouldn't it still be SEC if they're the best teams?
Correct. You are 100% correct about that. Well, thank you, Slammer. Appreciate it. Ron is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Ron.
Yes, Paul. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
I missed you at the Dolly Light the Way 5K. Remember when we talked last?
Yeah, I'm sorry I missed that. Well, I was a little bit busy last week.
Yeah, it was in November, and said, well, I'll just
forego. I was busy then,
forego my, yeah, I know. Exactly.
You've been busy. I've been busy ever since we met, Ron.
I know how busy you are, pal. Anyway, I told you, you know, I was going to be there, and you said, well, I'll just forego my duties to SEC Nation and meet you and Dolly there. So I missed you at the starting line, but I did enter, and it was a great 5K, running through Dollywood and seeing all the Christmas lights.
So what did you run the 5K in, Ron?
You mean my time?
Yes.
Oh, 48 minutes.
Hmm.
And it was really strange, Paul, because when they got to the award ceremony, there were about 500 people in this auditorium.
Yes.
And they said, now, we don't have anybody. They got up above the 70 to 74. We don't have anybody in the 75 to 79, nor do we have anybody in the 80 to 84. But we have a new category, and Radio Ron from Louisville takes the gold medal in the 85 and above.
Oh, man. Yeah, we would have been, I don't think I could have made that. It would have been pretty embarrassing to lose to somebody 20 years older, but.
I know.
You know what, Ron? I don't like the trash talk, but I think I would have beaten you.